Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Colton's upcoming season of The Bachelor and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
Aha, we finally made it. Podcast number 100. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. The big C note, 100 podcasts. I mean, I thought I was going to do a few. I did not think I would really get to 100. I didn't even think it was going to be a weekly podcast when it first started. I wanted it to be. I think the first couple weeks I did two a week. Which, thinking about that now, there's, like, impossible. But when we first started this podcast, I didn't know what it was going to be. The first four or five podcasts, if you go back and look, they were, one of them we took calls, one of them was, the other ones were just me talking about Bachelor Nation stuff. One was a bio breakdown when the Bachelorettes came out for one of the Bachelor seasons. So yeah, I just, and then it started getting into the interview format, and we've done that ever since. So thank you all for being a part of the first 100. Hopefully there are 100 more. Don't forget, this podcast brought to you by Beholden. Hey, brides and wedding guests looking for an outfit that dazzles? Beholden offers a gorgeous collection of wedding gowns and dresses for special occasions. Shop from the comfort of your couch, and your purchase will arrive at your doorstep in a matter of days. For a limited time only, use code LOVE at checkout for free shipping on your purchase at Beholden.com, BHLDN.com. That's BHLDN.com. As always, please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. It is much appreciated. It certainly helps out the podcast, especially with advertisers. If you want to subscribe and unsubscribe every week, that would help too. The last few of our podcasts have all reached not only top 10, but have reached top 5 in the TV and film category in Apple Podcasts. So that's been great. Also, Nell Coulter's Are You the One recaps season 7 are up every Thursday. I posted one earlier this morning. And don't forget, the He Said, She Said podcast with myself and Ashley Spivey comes out every Tuesday. You can be on this Tuesday's podcast or the following Tuesday's podcast or any future podcast of the He Said, She Said podcast by just emailing myself, emailing Ashley. Let us know you have Skype. Let us know what time zone you're in, the best times for you to record, and we'll get a call recorded. We'll work out the schedules. We'll get it done, and you'll be on a future episode. I hope you've been listening to that podcast. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of people, and I think the biggest thing that Ashley and I have taken out of it is so many people, whether it's a serious issue dealing with whatever, rape or sexual assault or depression or suicide, or whether it's something as we've had in a recent one about just wedding planning and stuff like that. People just sometimes need a place to vent. And they want to vent to people who have no skin in the game. You know, not family and not friends. And the other thing that I'm learning out of doing that podcast is people afterwards emailing me or emailing Ashley and saying, just hearing that phone call, it opened my eyes to this because I'm going through the same thing. And so that's really cool for us. And if you want to react to those podcasts, send myself or Ashley an email or tweet at us because it certainly helps us you know, because sometimes when you release a podcast, I mean, we see the downloads and we see how many people are listening, but sometimes you hope they're reaching people in some way other than they're just listening to it. So if you want to do that in future podcasts, if it pertains to you or it triggers something within you, please let us know, either personally by emailing myself or Ashley or tweeting at us or DMing, whatever the case may be. We really appreciate it. So without any further ado, though, let's get to podcast number 100. We're going old school with this one. Former winner of Bachelor Season 6. It's Mary Delgado. Okay, let's welcome our guest. She is number 100. You first saw her appear on season 4 of The Bachelor with Bob Guinea. Then she followed that up with appearing on season 6 of the show with Byron Velvick, where she ended up engaged. At the end of that, it's Mary Delgado. Mary, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, look, I'm really honored to be podcast number 100, and congratulations to you, Steve.
Thank you. You'll get, I'll send you some candy or some scratch and sniff stickers in the mail or something. That's what you get for being guest number 100. Obviously, the show now is completely different from when you were on it. Times are different, but I want to go back to the start with you when you first appeared on Bob Guinea's season. Mm-hmm. Had you watched Trista's season? Like, did you specifically apply for Bob? How did all that come about for you?
No, honestly, I didn't know what The Bachelor was. I was shopping at a mall here in Tampa, and I saw this sign as I was walking by, you know, apply for the Bachelor. I was like, what is that all about? And a girlfriend of mine was like, oh, do it. And I was single at the time. And so we walked in. I was like, okay, well, I'll just people watch. I'm just going to people watch. That's it. Long story short, I wind up getting in front of the camera and doing an interview. They wind up calling me and then got on Bob's season.
So when you knew you were going to be on the show, did you look back and like do any sort of research on Bob, or like, did you ask around like, hey, who is this guy? Like, or did you not know until you got out of the limo who your Bachelor was? Like, at what point did you know, oh, Bob Guinea is going to be the Bachelor season that I'm on?
No. Listen, this is so ancient because I'm so irrelevant. It was so long ago. I'm trying to,
this
you know,
was 03.
Go back in my memory.
For all those listening, Bob's season filmed and aired in 2003. So
2003, Lord yeah. have mercy. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure that I researched him to find out. He was a funny guy. And I like, you know, like jokesters, like funny guys and stuff like that. And he was good looking. He was a good looking guy. So I think I did research on him, but I can't even remember at all.
So do you remember what you did? This might even be even harder to remember 15 years ago, but do you remember what you did out of the limo? I don't think they don't do as many sort of quirky things back then and the corny gimmicks that people do now. But do you remember what you said to him or did out of the limo?
I do. I introduced myself in Spanish and he was like, oh, hello. You know, he was really friendly. That's all I said.
Okay,
you know, I said mucho gusto, you know, so I just introduced myself in Spanish. And everybody was so funny because everybody thought that I didn't speak English. Like, does this girl speak English? She keeps talking in Spanish. So it was pretty funny.
Now, we notice a lot of things, especially now in recent years, with the drama on the show usually revolves around feuds in the house between the women. There's, you know, just a lot of cattiness in the house. Did you remember it as much back then? This was season 4. We're on season 23 now. That have been
Lord.
Colton is filming season 20. Wait, is Colton 23 or 24? I think he's
23.
He's 23. Yeah.
Yeah. He's
so Colton's filming 23. You were on season 4. What about the cattiness in the house? Did you get along with everybody? Was there someone that stuck out that just always rubbed you the wrong way? Where were you at with the other women in the house?
No, I got along with everyone in the house. The cattiness was, you know, still the same. It just wasn't as severe as it is right now.
Yeah.
It's gotten worse, I think. So it just wasn't as bad. And I got along with everyone. I never had a problem with anyone in season 4 or season 6 that I was in, but I got along great with everyone.
So you were,
I'm still friends to this day, with, you know, a couple of the girls, with, Kelly Jo from Bob season, with, Estella, who was the final one.
Yeah.
So I'm still friends with a lot of the girls.
Well, you were one of the older ones that were cast for Bob's season. So Did any of the younger ones look up to you as like the mother hen of the house? Like they look to you as that type of figure? Or was it... Actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that because I don't have the list in front of me. I just assumed that you... I just assumed you were one of the older ones cast. Because I remember that ended up being a total storyline of you on Bob's season was... Oh, she's getting older and, you know, her eggs are,
and
you know, whatever.
Her eggs are getting, yeah.
Yeah, her eggs are rotting or whatever. She wants a baby now and all that. I remember. Shit. I mean, back then, I was just recapping the show, and I'm sure I gave you tons of shit for that. I mean, it's out there somewhere, but.
That's okay. I forgive you. I still love you, Steve.
Well, you're going to get Snatch and Sniff Snickers. That's why. So like, that's what you get repaid for. But do you remember being one of the older ones in the house, or were there more older women cast this season?
No, I was pretty close in age. I think I was maybe 5 years older, maybe. So, you know, I was cast as the one that was like, she's ready to get married now. She's ready to have babies now, you know, and that's the way that they portrayed me on there. They showed me like I was ready to do all those things. Like the truth is, like I did want to have children. I would think that, you know, a lot of people that wind up getting married want to start a family. But for me, I didn't want to start a family like right away. I didn't want to get married even right away because honestly, on the show, you really don't know a person really well. You get engaged on there, but then you want to have like, you know, time to get to know that person. So for me, the reality is, yes, I wanted to have kids. I just didn't want to have kids and get married like right away, like they portrayed me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's understandable. And back then, you know, like you said, we're talking 2003 and we're at a time where social media wasn't even a thing back then. The internet was still in its kind of its infantile stages of being what it is now. I just think that there just wasn't enough talk about it back then. It was very easy to run with a storyline like that back then. It was like, oh, oldest one in the house of the girls that we have. Let's go with this. Now, it's funny because when I went back to do a little research for this interview, there's just not a lot on the internet about Bob's season. I had to go back and read some old recaps that weren't even any good. And I'm so we're not going to sit here and break down every single date that you went on and you remember this group date and this one-on-one, which I do with most recent contestants because it's more fresh in people's minds. But one of the things that I did notice was you did get a one-on-one during the season, and it was at an amusement park. I guess you guys had it rented out to you that day. Do you remember anything about that date or no?
Yeah, kind of I do. We had a really good time. Bob was a lot of fun. He was hilarious. They really didn't get to show you know, all of who he was. And he was a great person. We're friends still. And actually, I think his wife, new wife, I think he's a dad now. I think they just had a baby.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure.
Or they either had one or are about to have one, I think.
Yeah, and he really, honestly, he's a really funny, good person. But on that date, we really had a good time. So the day they closed, that's what they do. They do all these dates that are kind of unrealistic because in real life, when are you going to shut down an entire amusement park to go on a date?
Yeah.
But they're a lot of fun. They do some spectacular dates, some amazing dates. So Bob was a lot of fun.
This season with Colton, we're going to get it in a closed amusement park date for one of his one-on-ones. I mean, here we are 15
sure
years later.
I'm sure you have the scoop on that.
Yeah, here we are 15 years later, and they're doing the exact same thing because he had a one-on-one earlier a couple weeks ago down in San Diego at an amusement park down there. And yeah,
he is going to be a great bachelor. I think it's going to be really interesting. Very interesting. I can't wait for the, you know, fantasy suite.
So have you been watching, like, are you keeping up to date with all this? Do you watch Paradise and Bachelor and Bachelorette every year?
Here and there. Like, you know, I'll watch them. It's like I saw, last season. I love the season with Rachel. I think that was her name. So I watched the Bachelorette and JoJo. I really loved that. I really liked different season. Juan Pablo, that was pretty interesting. He's up to, but that was an interesting season. I watched some of them here and there. I'll catch some episodes.
All right. So we're talking about Bob's season. You ended up getting to the final three of Bob's season. It was you, Kelly, Joe, and Estella, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so, and funny enough, so Meredith, because Meredith, what I think she was bachelorette number two, yeah. I think she was. Meredith was the final four. And
yeah, that's right.
After the show, they were contemplating like who was going to be the new bachelorette. And they actually contacted me that, you know, they wanted me to be the bachelorette. And so it was between me and Meredith, and ultimately they wound up going with Meredith. But Meredith's a sweetheart too.
Yeah. Well, you probably don't know this, but Meredith was on the podcast about 2 or 3 months ago, and it ended up making headlines because of what she said. But I don't want to relive it because it kind of died down after that, because Meredith basically decided it was just a time in her life that she. Like it was cathartic for her to talk about, but she never pursued mm-hmm. anything post that. But it was stuff that happened to her while she was the Bachelorette and filming, and stuff that was going on with her. And it ended up blowing up, but she was great. She obviously went through a lot as well post show, because she like admitted, I mean, it was mm-hmm. in stories. I mean, she's a known alcoholic and she admitted to it and struggled with it for a while, and we talked about all that stuff. But yeah, no, Meredith, I remember her talking about the whole Bachelorette choice, where she kind of said, from the second I agreed to it to the first day of filming was maybe 2 weeks. She goes, it was a whirlwind for me. Like, they kind of just came to me and said it, and there I was, and I was the Bachelorette. But so you get to the final three with Kelly, Joe, mm-hmm. and Estella. Was there a point during Bob's season, I guess even earlier in the season, or even maybe at the final three, where you either thought, A, he's going to pick me, or B, I might be engaged at the end of this thing? Or did you have a sense that even though I'm lasting this long, I don't think he's picking me? Where was your mind at with Bob with that?
No, I really thought that he was picking me from the feedback I was getting from him, and how much the producer was saying, oh, he really likes you and he's really into you and all these different things. So I felt like that really, he really did like me, that he was going to pick me. So obviously he didn't. And I was crushed. It was very upsetting. I was so crushed. I could barely say anything in the car. I was pretty crushed.
I was going to say when you got eliminated and he didn't pick you at the final three rose ceremony, and he picked Kelly, Joe, and Estella over you, mm-hmm. were you at a point where you were like, what just happened? Did you ever get any sort of explanation from him? Or I guess not until the tell-all show, the Women Tell All. Is that when you first got to confront him about it?
Yeah. I really didn't get too much of an explanation, because, you know, again, I thought that it was going to be me. The only thing that I knew was, you know, the fact that he wasn't ready to get married and he wasn't ready to have kids, and that, you know, pretty much I said, hey, look, I wasn't ready for that either. At some point in our future, if there was a future, because I thought that there was, I would have wanted that, just not immediately. But it was a shock for me. And, you know, when he lets you down, it's so weird. You go into the car, they drive you around literally for at least a couple of hours.
Oh yeah.
Just
getting the
around,
answers that they
driving
want.
Driving in circles. Yeah. Oh, just driving in circles and driving in circles. And I'm sitting there and tears are rolling down my face. And I'm like, I just want to go. I just want to get underneath the covers and cry out my eyes. I really don't want to talk. I just, you know, just. It was just really tough, but they drive you around for hours to try to get you to talk. And I wasn't talking that day.
When you had the hometowns with him, when he came to your hometowns, when you got to talk to your family, maybe after the fact or even briefly while he was part of it, did they feel it was coming that maybe he wasn't into you? Was your family full on board with him and they were gung ho about him picking you?
Yeah, my family was full on board. Like, my mother and my father, they don't speak English. I was born in Cuba, and we left Cuba as a little girl. I was 11 months old. And my mother and father, like, that's my heart, is my mom and my dad. They've worked very, very hard for their kids. There's six of us. And, you know, both of them had two jobs at a time just to make sure that we had an education and that we, you know, grew up with – you know, toys and clothes and food and everything else. So they never learned English. They understand it. They just don't speak it. But when he came to the hometown date, like, my mom and dad really liked him. They really believed that he was into me and that, you know, I was really into him. And I had two friends of mine, Mark and Lisa, that met him and really liked him. And, you know, they really thought, they saw how happy I was. They really thought, like, wow, you know, Mary seems happy and he seems happy and I think they're going to wind up together. So yeah. It really felt like it was real.
So the thing is, you're crushed at the end of this and, you know, you're crushed and you're, like you said, you don't know what to do and you kind of, you know, like I said, it's pre-internet days and whatever. And so they air Jesse Palmer's season in between Bob and Byron's. So mm-hmm. At what point were you approached about coming on Byron's season? And after what you had been through with Bob, did you immediately say yes? You know, what did you know about Byron beforehand? Explain that whole process of how the Byron season came about. Because for those that don't remember, which is probably a lot of you out there, you were not one of the first, whatever, 25 girls that he had the first night. You were brought on with another girl from your season, right? It was your season or maybe yes. It was another season. Okay, your season with
another
Bob.
Another season. Another season.
It was another season. So, and you guys came on mid-season or maybe episode three or four, but it was a lot shorter show back then. So just explain to everybody how that all came about, how they approached you with it of, hey, we think you would be a good fit or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, they called me up and they asked me, would you come back on the show? We think we have like the perfect guy for you and we really want you back and to come on the show. And I was like, I said, no, I really don't want to. I'm not interested. They call me back and they say, Mary, you know, we really want you to come back. And then, you know, I really thought about it and I thought to myself, well, you know, I was going not really to meet anybody. I just was like, okay, free vacation. I can go live in this mansion, have a good time and all this stuff. And plus, they paid me this time to be on the show. They paid me that time. So I went back on the show. And it wasn't because I wanted to meet anybody. I just thought, you know, I'll go over there, go for, you know, have a little bit of fun, and then I'll go back home. That was my thought process.
They paid you to come back a second time.
They paid me to come back. That time they paid me.
Do we remember how much that payment was?
I don't even remember. It was a good amount.
Okay.
But they paid me that time.
So because you didn't show up the first night and because you and the other girl, I can't remember her name. Who was it? What was her name?
Oh, I can't remember her name. And she's a friend of mine on Facebook. Is that awful?
No.
She's a sweetie pie too.
15 years ago.
Blonde, real pretty blonde girl. Oh God, I can't believe I can't remember her name.
No, it's all right.
I'm so sorry.
But you guys came on in, like, I think it was maybe episode 3 or 4. And what was the reception from the other women when you came on? Did any of them think it was an unfair advantage that?
Oh, yeah. They were not happy at all. Oh. They weren't happy. Because think about it. You know, here they come in, you know, fresh and new, and they're building relationships with them. And then all of a sudden, these two new girls come in out of nowhere. And it's like a twist because that year, Byron's year, there were two bachelors. They started off with two bachelors. Yeah. And then the girls had to pick which one that they wanted. They wound up picking Byron. Then the second twist was that here these two new girls are showing up. So they had a couple of twists in that season 6.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on it now, do you think they brought you in because maybe – once Byron was established as the bachelor, he had the most votes over him and Jay, and they knew who their bachelor was that they were going to be working with. Do you think maybe Byron had said, maybe to producers, maybe he told you this off air, that's why I'm curious, that he wasn't interested in anybody there, and they were like, oh shit, we need to find somebody because we want a proposal at the end of this thing, and that's why they came to you, or did they just come to you because they wanted to throw a twist in?
Honestly, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I kind of think that they knew that Byron was going to be The Bachelor. Okay. They probably knew like what he was attracted to. Also, there was a lot of pretty girls there. So I honestly really don't know the answer to that question, but that's a good question.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if he told them like after he was established and got the most votes and he knew who his cast was, that he was like, I'm not really into any. I'm not feeling it with any of these women. And so, like, I guess that, so my question, I guess, would be to ask you, how soon from when they asked you to come on did you end up on the show? Like, was it before the season even started or after, like, they were in mid-filming and they're like, hey, Mary, would you want to come on this season? Was it something like that? Or do you remember?
I don't remember. That was in 04.
Damn it.
That was in 04.
Because I think if we were somehow able to establish when they asked you, I think we might have a better answer to that question. Okay. That's all right. What was the other thing I want to talk about? Oh, so I don't remember a ton about Byron's season either. Obviously, we had the twist in the beginning where the women voted.
It wasn't memorable. Nothing memorable.
One memorable moment, though, that I will always remember because I don't know why I remember this from your season, but I do. Byron's hometown with Tanya here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I remember when they had their dinner and they toasted and Byron said he toasted to Christmas in Texas. And then when he ended up picking you in the end, it just set a bunch of people off. They were all pissed at him because they were like, well, why would you say that to her if you knew you were going to pick her or whatever the case may be? Do you remember that? Did you ever have a laugh at that afterwards?
I do. And like that broke my heart. That's, you know, part of this whole process is, gosh, when you say something like that, yeah, it would make you believe like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the one.
Which just much
like, in Bob's season where I thought he was going to pick me, you know, she went through the same thing thinking that, you know, she was going to be the one. Lucky for her that she wasn't the one. But anyway, I could see where a lot of people in Texas would be mad about that, including her.
How different was it having Bob meet your family versus when Byron met them? How different was that? Did they like Byron more? Did they like Bob more? What was the dynamic there?
Well, like the second time, like my family really, they didn't want me to go. They were like, you know, you went through a lot before. It was a heartbreak. And why would you put yourself through that again? And, you know, all these different things. And I said, well, I'm going there now for different reasons. I'm not going because I'm trying to meet somebody, but it wound up turning into that. Like when I met Byron, I really was attracted to him. I really liked him on the show. He was, you know, funny, and we had great conversations that weren't even aired. And I knew of him just what I saw on the show. And the person that I saw on the show was really a good person. He was very charming, very charming.
Yeah. And you can remember back then, all the Bachelor and Bachelorettes now are taken from previous seasons. So you have something to base your preconceived notions of that person going in because you at least saw them on the previous season. Back then, it was just they just brought in a new person, said, hey, here's our Bachelor. That particular season, they said, well, we've got two, but Byron ends up being the one. So you didn't know anything until you arrived because you couldn't have. He wasn't on a previous season. And
I didn't know anything. And that's the thing is, you know, with social media, you can do a research find out about a person to see what their background is. What I saw of him on the show was all that I saw, just the charming person that would write a lot, you know, always said the right thing, always did the right thing. That's all I knew of Byron. But yeah, like you said, a lot of the previous Bachelors were from previous ones, and you had Twitter and you had all kinds of stuff. Twitter came out in what, 2009 or something?
2009, yeah.
Yeah. Then you can do research on, you know, the Brad Womack or whomever, Juan Pablo. You kind of knew who they were.
Yeah, for sure. And at least you and the audience did and the contestants going on it did.
Yep.
And you back then, you're just in the dark. You have no idea. And then you getting thrown in episode 3 or 4, you're behind the eight ball yet again, even more so because these other women have already had dates and group dates and one-on-ones with him. So
when going on there with him, like I said, when I went on the show with on Virus Season, not wanting to meet anybody, but it wound up that as I was there and I hung out with him and talked with him, he was very charming and I really liked him a lot. And you probably don't remember this because you probably didn't watch a lot of the Byron Season, but
I watched it all.
I actually, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. I was going to go home and he begged me to stay. I don't know if you remember that.
Was that shown?
Episode. Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a whole big episode where I was like, I'm just going to go home. We sat out there. He was crying. I was crying. Please stay. Please stay. And I was like, okay, I'll stay. But I was going to go home.
How many people were left at that point? Was it late in the game when you said this?
I don't know how many were left. Maybe there were 10 people left, maybe, because okay. It was a slumber party. It was a slumber party where we were at. And
okay.
There was some dancing going on. We were all having fun and stuff. So.
Well, once it got down to the final two, it was you and Tanya from here mm-hmm. in Dallas. Again, I got to imagine you thought he was picking you, just like you thought Bob was picking you. You probably had some assurances in your own head or maybe even by him that he was going to pick you. Where was your confidence level at going into that final rose ceremony day?
I didn't catch that last part.
Where was your confidence at going into that final rose ceremony day that he was going to pick you?
We had conversations when we went into the fantasy suites and stuff. We had conversations that were like, we actually went in a closet and were talking to one another when the cameras couldn't hear us. And, you know, he pretty much was telling me, I really want to be with you. You're the one. And so he pretty much told me.
Okay. So you kind of knew, but it's still,
I kind of knew, but he could have been not being honest and not picked me.
Yeah. Trust me. It's happened before where somebody thought they were getting picked and they weren't.
Right.
Let me just ask you this. Where was your final rose ceremony at? Was it at the mansion?
Yes, it was.
With
a bunch of flowers all around and they covered the pool. It was really beautiful.
Okay. Cause I was like, where did they go? I don't remember them being like out on a mountaintop somewhere in a field or, you know, on a hill. And then I was like, okay, then I think they were at the mansion.
Yeah, it was
all right. After that happened, after you got engaged on the show, do you remember how long it was from the time you ended filming until the time the show started airing back then?
So back then in 2004, they did a lot of things differently. There was probably maybe 9-10 weeks okay. in between. So, and during that time, they would, you know, set up dates where you can see the person because they want to make sure that you guys, you know, the couple would see each other. So you had to wear disguises and all kinds of stuff. And they
still do that now.
Really, yeah, they set up pretty nice dates with one another. And during that time, you know, obviously when I come off the show, then you really learn a lot about the person. So we had some discussions about some different things. And it was very difficult to watch some of the things that were airing because you questioned some things like, well, why did you say that? Or why did you do this? Or you question a lot of things, what was happening that you didn't get to see.
How many times would you say roughly that you saw him in those 9 weeks that the show was off, you know, between the end of filming and when it aired? And it was like, what, weekends at a time? You'd stay together
yeah.
for like 2 or 3 days, but you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
you couldn't do anything still, right?
No. If we went for a walk, we would have to put on a wig or a hat and glasses or
yeah.
we'd have to hide. But I want to say it was maybe three or four times.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah. Obviously with Byron and Mary, there was a lot of post-show stuff between you guys and not all of it was positive. So we got to dive into it. Before we get into that, though, I want to talk about something that did happen was, if I remember correctly, so Byron was from Texas, you were from Florida. Once you guys got engaged, you pretty much packed up your life and moved to Texas to be with him, right?
I did.
Okay.
He was a pro bass fisherman,
yeah.
So he had a career. It involved traveling a lot. And I knew that if we were going to make things work, we needed to be near each other, not apart. So, yeah, I packed up. I went on the road with him. I started working for him, kind of doing his marketing because in the fishing world, you need sponsors to pay for a lot of things that you want to do as you're fishing. So I went on the road with him. We traveled a lot, did to many tournaments. We were all over the place. So yeah. And then I moved from Florida and moved to Texas, but that wasn't till a year and a half that we were together. That's when I moved.
Okay. So you guys did long distance for a year and a half. That's a long time to do long distance.
Well, he kind of lived over here for a little while. We got a townhouse.
Oh, okay.
And then we moved away to Texas.
So you really got yourself involved in the bass fishing world. Is it something that you even had any clue about going in, or no clue about whatsoever, or you had some sort of background in this?
I did. My dad was a fisherman in Cuba. That's what his life was. And growing up, I would fish with my dad, and I'm a tomboy anyway. So I love sports. I love, you know, playing football, softball, anything that's outdoors, I love. So I grew up with fishing. And when I met Byron, and he was a fisherman, and my dad was a fisherman, and all these things kind of fell together, it was natural for me. So, yes, I started fishing in the fishing world. I entered some open tournaments and had a really good time. I had my own boat, and I had sponsorship as well.
Wow, look at you. Marry the fisherman. How about that?
Yes.
Well, we got to get to it. We got to talk about what happened.
That's fine, Steve. It's part of my story.
Yeah.
Back
in 2007, there was an incident, very easily Googleable, that, and at the time, you know, it made headlines everywhere, that there was an argument, a drunken argument between you and Byron that led to Byron having a bloody upper lip and you were arrested. And the thing about this is, ironically, and I didn't know this until I literally did the research few hours ago, that it actually happened. This incident happened on the night that ABC aired their first ever After the Final Rose special, where they did updates on former couples to catch up with them to see how they were doing. And Mary and Byron are giving their, I guess you had taped it probably a couple weeks earlier, I'm assuming, maybe a week earlier,
yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
And it aired that night, and that was the night that this all went down. So that's what was completely ironic about it. However, obviously this is an incident that has marked you for a long time. It's what people, when I guarantee most people, the first thought that comes to their head when we mention Mary Delgado from the show is, oh, isn't she the one that punched her fiance or whatever? So, in your own words, what's the best way you can describe what happened that night?
Unfortunate, I guess. You know, so long ago, a lot of things that were out there there's just so many things out there that I got mad because he looked at me a different way when we aired the thing, or he said something wrong. And that's just, it had really nothing to do with the airing. We were at a friend's house out at the beach, and she was going through a hard time. I wanted to be there for her because she was upset. He wanted to leave. I was like, you know, let me just stay with her for a little while. You know, he said, no, let's leave now. We wind up getting in an argument, and I was like, fine, we'll leave. We left. We argued more. He kept arguing with me, and he reached over to kind of push my head, and look at my head hit the glass or whatever. And when he went to reach again, I was in the passenger side. I put my hand up to like block him from pushing me again, and my ring hit his mouth. So it wasn't like an actual punch, and that's unfortunate that happened.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. And I guess I was so shocked. I just kind of sat there, and he turned around, went back, washed his mouth, and I didn't even know he had called the police. But, yeah, I just sat there in shock, and that's what happened. So it wasn't an actual, like, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. It was an accident.
Yeah. But if you take up any story of the show, or that incident, if you know, you read any story, it says that you punched him in the face. Like, that's, like you said, it's unfortunate that that's the way it reads. And that's what has stuck to you. But there's your side of what really happened. It was almost a self-defense thing, and your ring hit him in the leg.
Yeah. So. Right. And that's what happened. It wasn't like I'm going to hit you. I'm going to smack you. I'm going to punch you. It was not that at all. It was just like, I'm going to block your hand of in my hand as it went up, it just hit him. And I think he was just shocked over it. And I mean, we stayed together afterwards and he was like, you know, I was pretty upset over the thing. I'd never gotten in trouble ever in my life. And it was awful. It was awful, awful.
I was going to say, so from that incident, you guys ended up staying together. Like, you were still together after that. That didn't lead to your breakup right away. So how hard was that to navigate, since even though there was no social media back then, you were still probably hearing it from a lot of people that just assumed that you were a violent drunk and, you know, punched your fiance. So how did you guys deal with that?
It was hard. You know, his career was bass fishing, and I didn't want him to lose any sponsorships at all. So we kind of kept to ourselves, and, you know, just said, you know, it was an unfortunate thing that happened, but he was there, talked to me and was like, you know, I'm sorry that this happened. I'm sorry that I called the police. I'm sorry that all these different things. And, you know, obviously I said, well, I'm sorry my ring hit your mouth. I'm just sorry that this whole situation happened. And it was really, really hard for me. Like I said, I never had gotten in trouble ever before. So there was a lot of crying that was going on that night. It was awful.
You know,
awful.
I can imagine. And it probably would have been just as bad
scary
nowadays, because scary you would be hearing so many things from anyone on social media, you know, giving their thoughts on what they thought of you and the incident. So you guys did stay together through that. Obviously it was rough. So that was 2007.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, you were arrested for public drunkenness and resisting arrest at a bar in Texas that you and Byron frequented a lot. You guys were still together at this time when this happened, mm-hmm, as well. Can you talk about that incident? What happened?
Yeah, that was 2008, and that was public intoxication was what it was. It was a restaurant/bar, and they had karaoke there, and it was around my birthday. And, you know, we were doing karaoke and having fun. And this was a bar/restaurant that was right down the street from a house. We had like 10 acres and a private road right next to that bar that leads to the house. And
Lorena's Cantina. Right?
Lorena's Cantina. Yes. Yeah. Lorena's Cantina. Remember it well. Yeah. And during that time, we were already living in Texas, and the lady there, Byron, had also a restaurant/bar right down the street. So I didn't know, but I guess she didn't like Byron or myself, because there was like competition. This is like a border town where we live, Del Rio. And, you know, so she didn't want us there. You know, she pretty much said, you guys have to leave. And I was like, well, why? You know, we haven't done anything. And she pretty much said, you got to leave. So I guess a deputy came, who was related to her, and said, you got to leave. And I was like, fine. So I left the place, or we all left the place, because we were there with some friends as well. And I started to walk down that private road that leads to our property. And, you know, the cop said, no, you can't go down that private road. You need to get in your friend's car. And I was like, but why? I just live right down that road right there. And anyway, he said, no, 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 get into the car. I got into the car. Then he pulled me out. And then I was like, you know, why are you doing this? And then he said, you're under arrest. So that's kind of like the short version. Everything was dropped, because there were some other things that happened that, you know, shouldn't have happened on the police's part. But everything was dropped because they were probably afraid that I was going to report some things that happened.
Gotcha.
But I didn't. So,
and then one final, because this is just, you know, the Debbie Downer part of the interview, I guess. One final incident happened in 2010. You got a DUI in Tampa that we all saw, and then there's mugshots online of it. Can you explain? First off, were you with Byron in 2010, or you guys had broken up at that point?
No, we had broke. I think we broke up in December of that year, and there was just a lot of things that I had found out and I learned about, and I actually was. The breakup was really hard on me. I didn't realize this, but I guess while we were together, I was like slowly falling into a depression because I was away from my family. I knew some different things that were going on in our relationship, and I really tried too hard to make it work. But we broke up, and I was out during that time with a girlfriend of mine who was going through a divorce. So we had eaten dinner and, you know, I had a glass of wine. I did have a glass of wine and I had been crying with her because, again, she was going through a divorce and she was crying. And I said, well, look, let me just drive you to the car. And when I drove her to the car, I had a taillight that was out and I got pulled over by a cop. And, you know, he asked me, my eyes were red from crying. He just point blank asked me, you know, have you been drinking? Your eyes are red. And I said, well, I had surgery to correct my vision like 10 years ago. And, you know, I've been crying. And so I did have a glass of wine because he asked me, had you been drinking? I said, yes, I did have a glass of wine. So I got out of the car and, you know, I'm wearing heels. I'm all dressed up because I had been working that day. And he did, you know, walk the line. I'm walking the line in my heels. I can barely walk in heels anyway. So, I guess, you know, that's when he arrested me. And honestly, I regret that so much. You never, if you have a glass of anything, I don't care if it's a beer, you should never, ever get behind a wheel. And I wasn't like, you know, driving, you know, drunk. I wasn't, you know, going in and out of the lanes. I got stopped because I had a taillight that was out.
Yeah.
But my mistake, which I feel awful of, I never should have gotten behind the wheel ever, was, you know, having a glass of wine and getting behind a wheel. And for that, I'm so sorry. So for anybody out there that has a drink, don't ever get behind it. You have Uber. You have, you know, all kinds of things that you could call nowadays. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance at all. And I really regret that. You know, and today, if I have a sip of it, if anything touches my lips, I will not get behind a wheel at all. Because not only are you, you know, chancing getting pulled over, but you're chancing actually getting an accident and hurting someone else. So for that, I really am sorry. That was my fault. I made a very bad choice, very, very bad choice that day.
Yeah.
I paid for it because a lot of people, and I get it. A lot of people make this assumption that I'm like this drunk party girl, that all I do is drink and I'm just, you know, it's awful. And the assumption is there and I get it, you know, from what you read, but that's so far from the person that I am. And that's what hurts me so much is that, you know, you Google me, you see that, and then that's the assumption.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, when you
it hurts me to this day. It really does.
No, I can imagine, because it's like you said, you can't scrub that from the internet now. I mean, the mugshots are there, the stories are there. It's you can't get away from it if you Google your name. After the DUI happened, did you have to, you know, enter classes? Did you have to go to AA classes or something like that? Did they make you do that?
No, not at all. Because again, you have to do community service, and then there's hours that you have to do and different things. And it was reduced down to I don't know what they reduce it down, but it's not a DUI. It's
So it was never.
Okay. It's not a DUI. It's reduced to something else. And I can't even remember what it's so long ago. That was, how many years ago was that? 10
eight,
years ago?
Eight.
Or eight years ago. Yeah. Okay. That was 8 years ago. You have to do classes. You have to do, and you have to listen to other people, you know, talk about them drunk driving and getting into accidents and killing someone. And that really, it's amazing to think about that there are some people out there that they do get pulled over for DUI, and they do it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, driving under the influence, they do it over and over again. And it just doesn't, they don't learn from that. They just don't. So that's unfortunate. But
so the last thing to wrap all this up, the three incidents in 2007, 2008, 2010.
Yeah.
This really, I mean, even though they all seem to center around, you know, some wine drinking or something like that, this isn't a case where you were, I guess, an alcoholic at this point. It was nothing like that.
No.
These are just three separate instances where things happened.
Yeah.
Like you never had to go, you never felt like, things are spiraling for me. I need to get help. Did it ever come to that? Did you seek a therapist
I'm not the type of person that sits at home and has a glass of wine when I'm alone. I'm not the type of person. I don't drink every day. I might drink once every couple of weeks or something like that. That's just how I am. So I never have had a problem with alcohol like that. It's never been like that. I don't drink to the excess. It's not anything like that at all. My problem is during that time is like I was, and when I am sad or depressed or I don't turn to alcohol, what I wind up doing is cleaning a lot. So I clean. I go
drinking.
Through my closet. Yeah, I go through my closet. I wash clothes. That's what I do. Or I'll go for a run. You know, I like running. I'm a runner. So, you know, alcohol's never been my vice, I guess. I don't know. I'm not an alcoholic. I know that for sure.
Okay. So it wasn't that honestly, I didn't know. I mean, you and I just spoke for the first time today.
No.
So I had no idea if it was something that when all that went down, you just felt like things were getting out of control and you had to get help or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. After all that, I really was even more depressed. I mean, going through a breakup out for everybody to see. It's bad enough going through a breakup, but then a breakup like for all of America to see, that's even harder. So that made me even more depressed. Cause again, like I said to you before, it's like you only have one thing in this life and that's your name. And like I pretty much destroyed my own name. All of it was my fault.
Yeah.
I don't blame anybody for anything, the choices that I made ever. It was all of my fault. So I blame myself. I just made a lot of poor choices back then. Today, different story.
Yeah.
Today, I'm so freaking happy. I have my son, Bama, my dog. He's a German Shepherd. I'm crazy about him.
Yeah.
My husband, who I adore, who is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I am the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Well, that's great. I mean, when all that ended, When did you move back to Florida? What year? Do you remember?
2010.
Okay,
2009, 2010, somewhere in there.
Okay. So you moved back to Florida and obviously you're picking up the pieces of a lot of bad things, bad press that has happened to you at this point. So all that happens, your life is probably pretty complicated at that point. What did you do to get back on track? How long did it take you to finally basically pick yourself up by the bootstraps and be like, all right, I need to just move on from this.
I was surrounded by a lot of love, just surrounded by family, by friends, just a lot of love, attention, affection, and just really got back to myself. I just worked out a lot, and that's what really helped me get back to remembering, you know, that I have people out there that love me, that care about me, that are there for me. And just remembering that, moving back home, being near my mom, my dad, my siblings, all of that. And that's what helped me. That's what helped me realize that, you know what? I didn't belong in Texas. I didn't belong out in the road. I didn't belong doing any of those things. I where I belonged was here in Florida with family and friends.
Yeah. And when you during that time, I believe, is when you got your realtor's license, right? Is that something that you took up at that time? Or had you already had it before you even...
I had already had it. I've had my real estate license now for 16 years. I'm a real estate broker. I have my own company. I'm going to plug myself right now. Mary Delgado Realty. Mary Delgado Realty. and I love it. It's so much fun. It's I get to see people's faces when they're first-time home buyers, and that makes me so happy. I love it. It's really a good time.
Yeah, I saw that on your Twitter. Your tweets are mostly about
real estate price
listings and stuff like that in Miami or Tampa area, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So let's get to your husband that you had talked about. You guys got married on New Year's Eve of 2015, so we're coming up on 3 years. How did you meet him?
He is my Greek god. I adore him. He's Greek, and we met actually at a Gasparilla party, and he was like, I saw him and I was like, oh, this, you know, good looking guy. That's the first time I met him. He came out to me, introduced himself. And funny enough, when I first met him, I actually was towards the end of, it was probably 6 months away from Byron and I breaking up. And he came out to me, said hello. I said hello. That's it. I didn't see him for a year later. And we ran into each other again at the mall. And we were watching a soccer game, US versus Ghana. And he came up to me again and say, hey, do you remember me? And I was like, no. And then we just started talking and it just hit it off. And that's how we saw each other again.
So that's how you met. What year was that? What year did you meet? 11 or 12?
It was 2010. And then 2011 is when we really got together.
Okay. So then 2011. And when did you get engaged?
We got engaged in 2014 and then got married in 2015.
Okay. So
2015, yeah.
Yeah. And New Year's Eve, 2015.
New Year's Eve in Cuba.
It was
in Cuba. Amazing. You know, he's Greek, like I said, and I'm Cuban, born in Cuba. So we knew we wanted to do a destination. Greece was so far away. The plane ride was so long. And I wanted to go back to where I was born. And so it was really emotional. 30 of us went, my family, he and I. It was spectacular. We were married in the Hotel Nacional, and we were there for like 10 days, I want to say. It was spectacular.
I saw in an interview you had said that you would go through everything that you did 1,000 times over to get where you're at right now. I'm assuming you still believe that?
Absolutely. And there's a tie to that, because when we got married, I actually sang to my husband. As I was walking down the aisle, I sang 1,000 years. I sang that to him as I was walking down. So, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I would go through 1,000 times of what I went through if at the end of it, you were there. Because he really has been a godsend. He is the sweetest man, extremely handsome. Oh. And he makes me very, very happy.
Where did you, not where, when you guys did meet and you guys started talking, did he have any clue about the Bachelor stuff?
No, he didn't. No. He did not know that I was on The Bachelor. He didn't. So he says, he did not know that I was on the show. He had no idea.
But I'm sure he Googled you at some point and saw the things that came up. And obviously it was brought up. I'm sure. Right. He asked you about
it. Yeah. It wasn't when we had talked, you know, I told him about it. And, you know, he said, you know, Mary, I know who you are and who you are. Like the things that are, when you Google you're not, it's so far from the person that I know. It's unbelievable. And he's helped me a lot through, you know, working with the things that social media, the people write or say or comment about you. It's really hard, you know, listening or not listening, but reading some of the things. It hurts. It really does. It hurts my soul just when people assume things about me. But he helped me a lot through that.
One other thing that I saw from the interview in that interview that you guys did with him. It was like a local mm-hmm. interview with the
ABC.
With news down in Miami or Tampa.
Tampa.
One thing that you said in it, I thought was really good. It's probably something that should be a meme or on a t-shirt or something. You said that life is about making mistakes, learning from those mistakes, and not repeating those mistakes.
Right.
I'm assuming that is something that you live by now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what life is. I mean, I meant what I said. You know, you learn from things that you've done wrong. Hopefully you don't repeat them. You just learn, hey, you know what? I shouldn't do that. I need to do it this way. So you don't want to repeat those bad things that happened to you. So yeah, I absolutely believe that 100%.
Well, I end every interview with a final 10 questions. These are more like personal questions about yourself so people can get to know Mary Delgado a little bit more. They're none are really show related. There might be a couple, but this is the final 10. So these are, we'll get through these and then that'll be it. So question number one, what would you say your best memory from the show was? Either one.
My best memory, zip lining.
When was that? Was that Bob's or Byron's season?
I think it was Byron.
Where was the zip lining at?
So long ago, Steve, that I don't even remember. I just know that I hung upside down when I was ziplining, and it was awesome. It was so awesome. Yeah, I love like daredevil stuff. Okay. I don't even remember. I know I went through a forest, and it was just incredible. That was like my favorite memory was ziplining.
Okay. Question number two, most romantic thing that a guy has ever done for you?
Most romantic thing that a guy has ever done for me would be asking my mom and dad before he asked me, my husband.
Oh, okay. But did Byron ever do that when he spoke to your parents? Or did Bob during hometowns, did they have to do that too? They do it now on the show.
He did, but he didn't, if that makes sense. It doesn't make sense to you, but he did, but he didn't.
What are we talking about, Byron?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, I think I know what you're getting at, getting at there. All right. Question number three. What are your top, I don't know if you're a big TV fan, but what are your top three TV shows right now?
Oh, The Voice. I love The Voice, the dynamic between, wow. I love The Voice. They make me laugh so much. I love Family Feud. I love Steve Harvey.
Feud. All right. Okay.
And I really like This Is Us.
Okay. I was going to say, get one scripted show in there, please.
Yes.
I hope all your favorite shows aren't reality. Okay. All right. Question number four. What is your biggest relationship pet peeve?
Honesty. I don't like a person who lies. I just don't think that's necessary. That's a big pet peeve. Let's see. I'm really not too difficult. I don't know. I don't really have many of them.
Well, honesty can be one. That's perfectly fine. I think a lot of people would agree with that. I mean, we all hate liars.
We all hate liars. Yes, we do.
That's fine. That's suitable enough for your answer.
So you just wanted one?
Okay. Oh, you can give me another one.
That's it.
Do you have another one?
Yeah, just someone that doesn't allow you to be you. Like they're controlling. They try to, like, just change who you are.
For sure.
Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. All right. Question number five. If there was one thing you could have done differently on either of your season with Bob or Byron, is there anything that sticks out to you? Other than the obvious of, you know, not accepting a proposal from Byron, but
How did you know that's what I was going to say?
I meant like, I don't know. I was thinking more like a little something on a smaller level of something that maybe you said or maybe the way you acted or I don't know, whatever you did or said. And it could have been Bob season. I don't know.
Well, I think coming off of the show, when I learned different things about the person I was with, I should have really stuck with what my gut, and I should have walked away.
Fair enough.
But you're not supposed to have regrets in life because everything, you know, happens as it should and for a reason. So.
And it's led you to where you are today, regardless of what you went through. But it's still, there's nothing wrong with saying I should have listened to, my head.
My kisses. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. My doggy is giving me kisses right now. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
my dog would, but she's got a cone on her head because she's got a little infection on her foot. So.
Oh, poor baby.
I know.
Oh, my German Shepherd. He's awesome.
All right. Let's see. Where are we at? Okay. Question number 6. What is your favorite U.S. city to visit?
I like Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, outside of Florida. That doesn't count.
Outside of Florida. Oh, yeah. God. I like Chicago.
Okay. That Chicago will work. That's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, baby. Love you.
Apparently, your dog likes Chicago, too. How about that?
Yes, he's giving me lots of kisses right now, and I'm loving it. Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm such an animal lover.
No, that's nothing wrong with that. Question number 7. Do you have a male and female celebrity crush? Who are they?
I really like Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
I know. Matrix.
Wow.
Just love him.
Wow. Okay.
I know. Matrix.
Old school. All right.
I know, really old school. And then female, I really like Angelina Jolie.
All right.
She's a humanitarian. She does a lot. So.
Yeah, she does a ton of stuff. All right, question number 8 has got a bunch of short questions in it, and these are one-word answers, so it's either one or the other. All right, you ready to go on these?
Yes.
Here we go. All right, strawberry or grape jelly?
Strawberry.
Beach or poolside?
Oh, that's tough because they're both in the sun. Beach.
Morning or night?
Both. I'm both a morning person and a night person. So. Okay.
Breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Lunch.
Vacation, U.S. or international?
U.S.
Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling?
Reynolds.
Chris Hemsworth or Chris Pratt?
Pratt.
Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter?
Twitter.
I was going to say, yeah, we'll get to your Instagram has 6 pictures on it.
I know. I'm so awful. I'm awful with that.
Yeah. Question number 9.
I'll post more.
Question number 9. You mentioned this earlier, but I didn't know how close you were to them, but who would you say is your closest friend still from the show? Someone you keep in touch with the most? You might not have one. I mean,
it's not like I talk to them all the time, but they are on my Facebook and we exchange messages. But Kelly Jo, Estella, Cindy's also my friend.
And Cindy was the finished
Meredith.
Cindy was the finished third on on Byron season.
Yes.
God, I couldn't. You could line up 10 girls in front of me right now with one of them being Cindy. And I wouldn't have a clue who the hell she is. I cannot picture her for the life of me.
She was funny. Cindy was, she was goofy, funny, real pretty, tall, blonde girl. She lives in California. Real sweetheart.
No idea. Totally drawn a blank. Anyway. All right. Question number 10.
Yes.
Is something that I call explain your tweet, where I go through your Twitter account to
okay.
But all your tweets are basically listings for properties in Tampa. So there isn't really...
And some of them are my dog.
And your dog. So there isn't really much to... Not a lot of text tweets that you have, like where you're expressing a thought or something like that. So we'll just get into a question about real estate. What is the biggest mistake a first-time home buyer might have, or maybe a myth about first-time home buying?
First-time home buying or selling your or first-time home buying?
Yeah, home buying.
Really what a person should do is they should not overbuy. So like, don't buy over your means. So make sure that you go and get qualified first so you can know where you can buy at. Cause I get a lot of people that say, I can spend this much, but then, you know, they really can't. And then they wind up falling in love with the house and then realize they can't afford that house. So you don't want to work to pay a mortgage. You want to enjoy your life. So,
yeah. So like basically seeing your dream home and saying, I have to have this home if it doesn't fit your means. Okay.
Yep.
Fair. That's good advice everyone should take. So, Mary, you have completed the final 10. We have finally finished this podcast. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this, being girl number 100 or guest number 100.
I'm so sorry. I was so boring because I'm so irrelevant and I'm so, 12 years ago or 14 years ago.
15 ago. If you want to count Bob's, but yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe that this has been on for 22 seasons. It's been on as long as it has been. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sure when you were on the show and when it was airing and when it was over, you were probably like, yeah, this show's not going to be on much longer. And here it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now what do they have? They have Bachelor in Paradise. They have the new show, The Proposal, which is crazy.
Yeah. They got Winter Games. Yeah. Well, they did last year. I don't know if they're having it again this year yet. We don't know yet.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there, but it's unbelievable. And you do, Steve, you do a phenomenal job. I don't know. You always get the scoop on stuff. So thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it because, like I said, I'm so irrelevant.
No, thank you for coming on, and thank you again for talking about the stuff. From, 2007, 2008, 2010. Obviously, it wasn't a fun time, but, it's stuff that needed to be discussed. But I think you have a good perspective on it, and that's what I wanted people to hear. And also hear kind of maybe what really went on in those situations. So, your dog's going crazy. So
that was my dog saying bye.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll end it right here. Mary, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much to Mary for that. Good to go down memory lane, and especially with someone who won the show. Granted, it was back in 2004. I know a lot of you listening right now probably don't even remember that or be like, why do we care about somebody who was on the show 15 years ago? Because she has a story, and her story is quite intriguing and very interesting. And obviously, she's been through a lot since the show. So I appreciate Mary coming on and sharing that with us and talking about those difficult things. I mean, to have your name in the news for things involving drinking in 2007, 2008, and 2010, like three times in 4 years, of course, people are going to have preconceived notions of you. And I'm glad that she was able to share her side of things that went down. Don't forget, this podcast is brought to you by Beholden. Hey, brides and wedding guests. Looking for an outfit that dazzles? Beholden offers a gorgeous collection of wedding gowns and dresses for special occasions. Shop from the comfort of your couch, and your purchase will arrive at your doorstep in a matter of days. For a limited time only, use code LOVE at checkout for free shipping on your purchase at bhldn.com. That's bhldn.com. Thanks again to Mary for that. Please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. Much appreciated. Also, Nell Coulter's Are You the One recaps up every Thursday. Just released one earlier today. We've only got a few episodes left of Are You the One. Let's see if all these people can agree at who their person is so they can split $1 million, which ends up being like $46,000 a person or something ridiculous like that. So check that out. It's on the website today. No more Floribama Shore. That ended last week. So that won't be back. Season 3 doesn't start, I think, until beginning of 2019. So thank you all for tuning in. Podcast number 100 in the books. I cannot believe it. We've gotten through 100. Hopefully we'll have 100 more or 200 more or 3,000 more. Okay, maybe not 3,000, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, thanks you all. Thank you all for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week. See ya.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With chocolate treats mixed into dark chocolate ice cream, the Tillamook Chocolate Collection is a chocolate game changer. Because the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection Ice Cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más, y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pick-up y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pick-up y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
I was hours into a hunt for new digs at the local shopping mall and losing steam fast when fate intervened.
Drumsticks, get your drumsticks!
Nutty, sweet drumstick? What luck!
One drumstick, please.
Here you go.
This is hot and made of chicken.
I want an ice-cold, creamy, crunchy drumstick sundae cone.
You and me both, buddy. But that's the vendor next door.
Drumsticks!
But that line is 3 miles long!
Oh well. Another day, another drumstick.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.